This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. After 25 years of touring in the States, Sting is getting ready to hit the stage again.
Send your love into the future. Send your love to the distant.
Okay. It was fine, wasn't it?
We visited a New York studio earlier this week where Sting is rehearsing for his world tour to support his 11th solo album called Sacred Love.
So, gentlemen, when Joy sings, I really want to hear it, both on stage and out there.
Ever the perfectionist, Sting is fine-tuning the performance of the first single, Send Your Love.
Into the future. Till the distant dawn. Set your mind at the relay station, a mission forward to the unknown. Send a seed to a distant future, or we can watch the galaxies grow. Ain't no time for down in your power, ain't no time for hiding your hair. Climbing down from an ivory tower. You gotta speak in the world we are to share.
There are few physical clues to his age as he approaches his 52nd birthday. He's tan, trim, and fashionable in his wrinkled dress shirt and faded bell-bottom jeans, silver jewelry with Sanskrit writing adorning both wrists. The songs on Sacred Love are about love, both romantic and religious. Those are themes he's explored in the past, but this time, Sting says he felt like writing about love presented more of a challenge.
This record began its life, and it's thinking about it, on September the 12th, 2001, where the entire world was recalibrated for everybody. And so as an artist, you are not immune to that. It makes you question your purpose, question your validity. You know, I write love songs. What use is that in this new world that's been presented on our doorstep? I thought about it very deeply and seriously. I didn't come up with any quick, easy answers, but I began to realize that what I'd been doing all along, which is expressing the power of love, was actually what I should continue to do.
In the song Send Your Love, you take on another one of the big topics. You take on religion. Mm. And in the lyrics, when you say there is no religion except that of which I sing, are you concerned at all that you're being a little bit preachy?
I think there's a certain polemic in the lyrics that might shock people, which is the idea. You know, I sing there's no religion but sex and music.
There's no religion but sex and music. There's no religion but sound and dancing. There's no religion but line and color. There's no religion but sacred jazz. There's no religion but the endless ocean. There's no religion but the moon and stars. There's no religion just time and motion. There's no religion just tribal stars.
No religion but line and color and the endless ocean and the moon and the stars. It's basically saying that religion is just everywhere and all around us. It's a very religious song. Am I being preachy? Yeah. Why not?
You've been around long enough that you can...
I can preach.
One of the songs that I found really interesting was Stolen Car. And the premise of the song, maybe you can help me out with the story. Young man sits behind a wheel of a car.
I think it's the first song ever written about a psychic car thief. And this kid, he steals a car, and then he somehow by the feel of the steering wheel or the smell in the car, he figures out the life that's been led in this car up till now.
Late at night in summer heat. Expensive car, empty street. There's a wire in my jacket. For this is my trade. It only takes a moment. Don't be afraid. I can hotwire an ignition like some kind of star. I'm just a poor boy.
He imagines the guy who owns it. He's successful. It's obviously an expensive car. He's maybe a company director, got a wife, beautiful kids, and then there's some other lingering perfume, and it's not the wife's, it's his girlfriend, his mistress. Then he says he hears her song in his ear, you know, take me dancing, You know, you said you'd take me dancing, you can't. I'm the prisoner of love.
Please take me dancing tonight. I've been all on my own. You promised one day we could. That's what you said on the phone. I'm just a prisoner of love. Always hid from the light. Take me dancing. Please take me dancing tonight.
And then it goes to the wife with the kids, and she recognizes somebody else's perfume in the car, and the kids are being noisy in the back. It's a very real situation. You know?
You write a lot about middle class life, middle age. As we said, the woman who was driving with the kids in the back, who are making a lot of noise, someone who's going through a divorce, someone who realizes that his wife or his lover is gone because he doesn't smell the coffee in the morning. The small things that make up life. When you live the kind of life that you do, sequestered on the road, or you live in a castle most of the time, how do you observe everyday life?
Yeah, I do have a rarefied life. I admit that. Yes, I live in a 16th century manor house, and I have houses all over the world, and a sort of jet-setting life, or whatever. At the same time, I do pride myself on my ordinariness. I walk to work. I have citizens' rights. I don't have bodyguards. I try and lead an ordinary life, and I try and bring my children up as ordinarily as I can.
Is that possible?
Probably not, but the attempt is there, and I think it works. There seems to be some kind of balance in my family life and my career that may not be perfect, but it's certainly, you know, it keeps to its compass.
I read something that I thought was so interesting. In an interview in 1996, you said that sometimes you'll go to strip clubs to observe life because you can truly be anonymous. No one's paying attention to you. They're looking at something else.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic environment because, one, nobody's looking at you. They're all looking at the girls. And it's a fantastic psychological circus. There's a story on every face. You know, my job is as a writer to observe people, to observe story. So it's a great, you can be a fly on the wall and watch these little, you know, psychodramas going on of people's loneliness and people's needs and people's desires, and it's all there. It's fascinating.
Do you find yourself at times frustrated with the critics when they look at your work and say, where is he going now? Where is he taking us now?
I used to be when I was younger, but no, I think everybody has a right to an opinion, and you know, you can't expect to be loved by everybody. I crave respect more than I crave love from the larger demographic.
Define respect.
Understanding of intention, that my intention is to give people pleasure and give people information and give people a sense of a journey being taken. That's all. You don't have to love every note or love every line.
There are many people who respect you not just as a musician, but also because of your dedication to certain causes, particularly the rainforest. But since you mentioned respect, some might be curious by some of the other decisions that you've made when they see you in a Jaguar commercial. You've got an upcoming concert to promote American Express Blue Card. This is the man who's trying to save the rainforest, and this is the corporate sponsor. And, you know, they could be forgiven if they're a little bit confused by this.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that I do think about. When I'm offered a Jaguar commercial, I think, well, I do have a certain environmental responsibility. And yet, if I allow them to use my song, then my song gets heard by millions of people. It's a song that I care passionately about. It's a song of, you know, a duet between an Arab singer and a Western singer, and it has a political message, if you like, underneath the musical one. Is this right? And I did deliberate for a while, and then I just had 100,000 trees planted on my land, and I was told by this group who gave me the trees that my environmental footprint was being rebalanced because of all the air fuel I use and the car fuel, whatever. by planting these trees, I was balancing it out, okay? And so that was my justification.
You're saying this with a straight face.
I don't know whether more cars were sold because of my my commercial. Maybe more Jaguars were sold. So, I don't know.
It's curious, though. I mean, as a younger man, when you burst into the music scene in the late 70s, if you looked into that crystal ball, I think most would be surprised if two decades later you were fronting for American Express.
There are contradictions the whole way, and I'm a popular artist. I do these things to get my message across. You know, being in partnership with American Express or whatever is helping me to get my music to be, I believe passionately that my music is good, and it's good for people. So there's a compromise to make, and I will do it.
If you look ahead, since you do have a birthday coming up, you know, if you pick up the Sunday Times and you look at all the concerts, is there a lot of bands that you would have expected to go into retirement that are still touring? And what was it, the Who, Hope I Die Before I Get Old? Well, that didn't happen. A lot of folks are still on tour, and in some cases what seemed to be sort of the 401k tour, you know, sort of keeping it going. And if you look ahead, 10 years from now, do you think you'll still be writing music? Do you think you'll still be performing?
Yeah, I think so. I don't feel in any way compromised by my age to do the job that I do. I look like I want to look. I'm not wearing a corset. I'm not wearing a wig. I'm not pretending I'm 25. I'm not singing about issues that I should have grown out of by now. I'm happy and I feel dignified in doing what I do. So there's no reason why that shouldn't carry on for another 10 years or maybe another 20. You know, I don't think there's an alternative. I think you, someone in my position, you sing or you die. I really don't think there's a there's an alternative at all.
It's been wonderful talking to you.
Nice to talk to you too.
A million footsteps is left for drags behind my walking.
Sting, his latest album is called Sacred Love.
Years turn into weeks and years turn into lifetimes. Just keep walking like I've been walking for 1,000 years. Walk away in emptiness, walk away in sound. Walk away from yesterday, walk away tomorrow. Walking to escape.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.